Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The oil that Mark Zandi talks about makes its way into the U.S. economy from domestic wells and offshore rigs and tankers from all over the world. Port Fourchon is one of the busiest oil ports in the world. The offloaded carbon here on the southernmost tip of Louisiana gets consumed, and its impact is felt in the slow rise of the Gulf waters that lap at the shore and encroach on the roadways. It's a game of carbon poker here at Port Fourchon. The waters rise, and the roads need to be raised to stay above those waters.
For travel by land, unimpeded access to Port Fourchon, regardless of weather conditions, has been vastly improved by the elevated Louisiana Highway 1 from Leeville. Elevated LA-1 has increased accessibility to the interstate system, greatly expanding the economies of the shipping, tourism and recreation, and commercial fishing industries. Elevated LA-1 also provides a secure evacuation route for tens of thousands of people in the event of a storm.
Ted Fogle rolls his eyes a bit listening to that industrial video about this port he loves. He's seen it all in his 30 years in the oil game, and he's not sure who is winning. Would you say you're a climate change activist at this point?
Well, I'm a climate change participant. I have to deal with it every day, and I think coastal Louisiana is going to be the fishbowl that everybody gets to watch and learn and hopefully decide how we're going to deal with this situation, because it's going to start impacting more and more coastal communities across the country and world.
Ted Fogle could take you on a helicopter tour of Port Fourchon, and you could spend hours watching giant offshore rigs, massive tankers, huge service vessels, acres of cranes and pipelines, pumping stations, and lines of trucks waiting to pick up and drop off. Port Fourchon is big, all right, Ted would say, but the forces at work in sea level rise might be bigger.
My experience in the oil and gas industry dates back probably 35 plus years now. And certainly we started, you know, back 30 years ago, it was mostly inshore or nearshore activity. And then you saw a gradual movement to the deeper and deeper waters of the Gulf of Mexico as technology improved and incentives allowed the industry to go out deeper. Today, it probably matches what NASA has done to go the other direction. We have probably equal technology and capabilities to go into the ground in 7,000 to 10,000 feet of water now in dealing with all those stresses and produce.
Isn't it strange that all of a sudden that water level in the Gulf is a force that you have to reckon with? Tell me how you began to discover that that was enough of a phenomenon that it was going to impede your ability to do your work.
Well, we clearly understand sea level rise and have been experiencing it for quite some time and fully believe that it's increasing, its rate is increasing. We have elevated highways, raised property within the port. Because the port sits on the Gulf of Mexico and the nature of a seaport where there's lots of dredging that occurs, we have the capability to build land higher. We have for long been doing that to sustain ourselves out into the future. Untypical, perhaps, of a port, we have been one of the leaders in coastal restoration way before it ever became cool to do, you know, coastal restoration.
How would you respond to people who want to maintain that, in fact, there's no human-caused climate change when you're seeing the tangible results of it?
I think there are many, many parameters at work here. The greenhouse effect has the ability to change temperatures, but changes in many things, both related and unrelated to the carbon issue.
Where are you going to get the money to continue these mitigation efforts as the sea level rises slowly? Where are you going to get the money? Where are those resources going to come from?
And that's a very good question, okay? Louisiana has lost the size of Rhode Island in land over the last 30 years. So we've been dealing with this for quite some time. We have spent billions of dollars already in dealing with it, but as we get closer and closer to the water level, we have to get more and more aggressive. The federal government collects billions from offshore oil and gas lease revenues and has not shared with the state anything prior to just recent. And then now we're going to start sharing in offshore revenues a bit. And that's when we have dedicated it constitutionally to be spent on coastal restoration.
But you're in quite a position there to basically cover the costs of the kind of investments you have to make to deal with sea level rise. That becomes an argument for more drilling for oil to get that money to do what you need to do, which probably makes things worse over the long haul.
Let me make a prediction for you that if we didn't have oil and gas production and we weren't so significant to this nation's energy, we would not be getting revenue sharing. We wouldn't be, there would be environmental concerns that care about the catastrophic loss of coastal Louisiana, but there would be no one coming in with the big bucks to try to help save it.
Does it ever feel like Mother Nature is playing a joke on you, or you're unsuccessfully playing a joke on her?
It depends how you define success. I'm a Cajun, which is French. We run out of Nova Scotia and settled in South Louisiana and had nothing there and took the challenges. We'll continue to work and find ways to enjoy the estuaries and in our way of life. And production of energy allows us to do that. And I know you can make the case that, oh, well, you're just exacerbating the situation. But as I said, if we didn't produce 30% of the nation's energy supply, very few people would care about coastal Louisiana washing into the sea. And obviously people care now. We're having this conversation.
Ted Falgul is the former director of Port Fouchon and chairman of the Louisiana One Coalition. He joined us from Louisiana. We spoke to Ted as part of our collaboration with WBEZ Chicago's Heat of the Moment project. It's also in collaboration with IC Change. Find out more at icchange.org. And for more from the series, please visit heatofthemoment.org.